Open your Bibles now to the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew chapter 5 in your Scofield Bible, page 1000. Page 1000. We'll begin with the 21st verse and read through the 25th. Verse 21 through 26. We'll read the verses responsively, taking note of verse 24, the text verse. May we stand together, please, for the reading of God's Word. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And let's pray. Father, we of course are delighted to be here in this great church. Thank you for the faithfulness of so many people who come. Thank you for our preacher, faithful to preach the word. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're late this morning, and so because of that, because we have to clear out of here so the next children's service can get in, turn the treble up, please, on the mic. I want you to give me your undivided attention. I have to be brief, and I have something I want to tell you. I want to speak this morning on the subject, it's the fault of the one who's not to blame. It's the fault of the one who's not to blame. It's the fault of the one who's right. Our Father, bless, I pray, our meeting together for these few moments, please, and give me the hearts and minds of the people now, in Jesus' name, amen. I said the other night, I think it was night, it was morning, but I think it was evening service. I wish everybody who loves me could love everybody who loves me. I wish everybody in this church could love everybody else in this church. It grieves me deeply when someone whom I love is on the outs with someone whom I love. And I believe there's a way, in fact, I know there's a way, where nobody ever need have any hurt feelings with anybody else. God has a way. I know there's a way where there's no, where everybody can be at one with each other, and where there'll never be any falling outs, any hurt feelings, anybody not speaking to anybody else, anybody not being unkind to anybody else, anybody having bitterness or bad feelings toward anybody else. I'd been preaching for years, I guess 10 years, before I even noticed our text this morning, what it said. I always thought to then that if somebody, if you had anything against anybody, go make it right. And I think that's true. If you have anything against anybody, go make it right. And I'd always sort of thought that's what this said. But it doesn't say it. Our text says, if thy brother hath aught against thee, go and first be reconciled to thy brother. You know, Dr. Evans, this is the only place in all the New Testament where this particular word for reconciliation is mentioned. Now, the word reconciliation is mentioned several times in the New Testament, but it's always something, a different Greek word. This is a particular Greek word, is used nowhere else in the Bible, in the New Testament. For example, it says, God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is not the same word, be reconciled to thy brother. that is here. This word reconcile to thy brother, it means if thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift at the altar and go be reconciled to thy brother. Now, the Greek word means this, mutual concession when only one is wrong. What it means is two apologies and one is wrong. It means one person apologizes who's wrong and one person apologizes who's right. It's the same word for reconciliation, except the little prefix, which is anna here, whereas the other is kata, which means nothing to you, and not much to me. But it means that you got two people here seeking forgiveness with each other, and only one is wrong. Actually, what it means is this. The one who is right must first say, I'm sorry. That's God's plan. Now, the one who's wrong it should say, I'm sorry. But God's plan is the one who's right should say, I'm sorry. Well, I'll forgive him if he comes and asks me. Boy, I'll tell you what, it'll be a cold day where the book of man is before I go to him. I haven't done one single thing against him. Yes, you have. You got a dirty face against him right now. And you got evil in your heart against him right now. And I'm saying God says that the person who is right must go and say, I'm sorry. And the one who could win in a court of law and be right in the eyes of the judge or a jury is to go to the one who could lose in the court of law and be wrong in the eyes of the jury or the judge. He, the one who is the victor in the lawsuit, must go to the one who is the loser. The innocent initiates the reconciliation, not the guilty. The good guy, not the bad guy. The guy in the white hat, not the guy in the black hat. God says that if you are right, but your brother hath aught against you, you are supposed to go to your brother and be reconciled, then come and bring thy gift to the altar. Now, that's not talking about withholding your tithe. I'm going to make that very plain. That's not talking about bringing your gift to the altar of a church. It's talking about bringing your animal sacrifice to the brazen altar, as the Jews would come and bring their animal sacrifice to a brazen altar, and that sacrifice placed on that altar. And God said, before you put that lamb on that altar, and before you take that lamb's life as a substitute for your sin, he said, if you think of anybody in this world that has something against you, you leave that carcass of that lamb right there and get your carcass out there to thy brother and make it right with thy brother and then come back and offer your gift on the altar sacrifice. You say, preacher, that just doesn't seem natural. It isn't. It's supernatural. But you say it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense to you as long as it makes sense to God. Now you say, why would God, look, here's a guy, cheated me. I mean, he cheated me out of some money, or he lied about me, or he did something, well, he stole from me. And it just, you think I'm supposed to go to him? No, I know you're supposed to go to him, and you're supposed to make it right, and then bring your gift to the altar. Folks, listen to me. I said this 1,000 times, I'll say it 1,000 times more. We're interwoven here. Our children go to school together. We don't, we can't have Sunday morning Christianity. We can't do it. I mean, we're interwoven all week long. We can't put on our best bib and tucker and our best behavior and go down to the church and then go out and fool everybody the rest of the week because we see each other tomorrow morning. I mean, we're interwoven. And it is going to happen. I don't care who you are. It's going to happen. We're going to be offended. We're going to have our feelings hurt. There are going to be division. There's going to be strife. It's going to happen. Now, we can't stop that. But blessed be God, we can correct it. So, Dwight Moody used to say, you can't keep a bird from lighting on the top of your head, but you can dead sure keep him from building a nest on top of your head. And you cannot keep little differences from coming. But let me tell you something. There is a plan that God Almighty has given whereby nobody ever has to hold a grudge in his heart. And that is for the stronger person. Well, you say he was wrong. Okay, that means God says to you, go to him and make it right. Now, why? Tell you why. The strong one will come nearer doing right than the weak one. I mean, the guy that's already done something wrong, he's not going to all of a sudden do something right and go seek reconciliation.
But here's the innocent fella. He's doing right, and somebody did something wrong against him. Well, he's the strong guy. And the strong fella's going to come nearer going to seek reconciliation than the weak guy. Listen, if God had said, if you have aught in your heart against your brother, you go be reconciled to him, hardly anybody would ever get reconciled, because the weak one and the sinful one is not going to go. The very nature of the fact that he's the weak one means he's not going to go. So the good Christian goes and seeks forgiveness from the bad Christian, and the right one goes and seeks forgiveness from the wrong one, and God said we'll get more reconciliation that way if the one who is right will go and seek forgiveness from the one who's wrong. So that's another reason why. Well, the fellow who's right will come near seeing the little fault, his little fault, quicker than the one who's wrong will see his big fault. The fellow who's right will come near seeing the mote in his own eye before the fellow who's wrong will see the beam in his own eye. Thirdly, God wants to reward those who are right. You say, hold it now, preacher. Hold it now. You say God wants to reward those who are right, and then you say the guy that's right is the guy supposed to eat the crow. That's exactly right. Well, you say, how could God reward a fellow for eating crow? Because eating crow, my beloved friends, is more fun than feeding crow. And eating humble pie is more fun than feeding humble pie. And saying, I'm sorry, is more fun than saying, I'm not sorry. And God said, brother, you've been right. You've not been wrong. I'm going to give you the fun. I'm going to give you the big end of the stick. You get to have the fun. Have you ever said, I'll tell you what, I'll not.
Or have you ever gone to the person that wronged you and said, my brother, forgive me for not being able to handle the situation better. And I want you to know I'm sorry. And you're big enough to give in and big enough to say, I'm sorry, brother. Once you taste that kind of heavenly manna, you'll never want to wallow in the garbage can of vindication again as long as you live. There needs to be some strong... Listen. If a deacon in this church has something against or something in this church, a difference of opinion between a deacon and a person not a deacon, the deacon ought to give in. If the pastor has a difference between himself and the deacon, the pastor ought to give in. If the staff member has a difference between a member of the church and the staff member ought to give in. If a faculty member has something, a division with a student, I'm not talking about rules now, but the faculty member ought to give in. I'm saying God said the stronger person is the one who is responsible for the peace. There's another reason, that is this. The person that's right is more accountable than the person that's wrong. Bible says too much is given, much is expected. Bible said there will be more punishment for the day, more leniency in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than for Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Tyre and Sidon. Why? Because Tyre and Sidon knew more. Look, folks, hey, did you know that sin-sick world out there doesn't know this truth I'm preaching this morning? Listen to me. Did you know that all that sin-sick world knows is, if he gets you, get him. Eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But you know different. And brother, the fellow down at the tavern today who's got something in his heart against a brother, or his brother has something against him, and the fellow who is right does not seek to make it wrong, he is not sinning as much as you're sinning because you know better. You've been sitting, many of you, under my ministry almost 25 years, and if I have preached anything in this church, I have preached love those that hate you. If anything has gone across this pulpit, it's been bless those that curse you. If anything has been preached from this pulpit through these years, it's been pray for those that despitefully use you and do good to those who do ill to you, and that's as much Bible as John 3:16, and it's time that God's people start practicing it. And you're more accountable to do it than the bartender is. He doesn't know any better. You know better. God's given you more accountability. You know, the strong are more accountable not to fight than the weak. I've used this before, and it's so graphic illustration. Suppose Muhammad Ali were to walk up here today, and that'll be the day. But suppose Muhammad Ali walked up here today, and I saw him, and I said, hey, buddy, let's just go a few rounds. Ask you a question. Would you like to place a bet on how long it'd last? I'd last.
Brother, if I ever said to Muhammad Ali, let's go a few rounds, you mark it down, I am courageous and an idiot. Now, wait a minute. It would take more courage for me to fight him than not to fight him. Right? Ask a question. Which would take more courage for him? Why, he knows he can reach out. Boy, I want to puff. And put all of our heads together on the platform. One little puff. Now listen, he has the strength. He has the power. Now it takes more power for him to restrain himself than it does to fight. So the strong shows his power when he restrains, and the weak shows his power when he fights. And the strong in God shows his power when he does not fight back, he shows his strength. Why? Because he controls himself. He resists what the flesh says to do. And I call on everybody under the sound of my voice this morning. I call on you today. Do me a favor, Brother Houston, and be seated, would you please? Folks are looking at you thinking you want something, and you're better looking than I am. But look at me. I call on everybody in this room this morning. I call on you. When there is strife, you give in. You seek the peace. You have the strength. The weak shows his courage by fighting. The strong shows his courage by not fighting. That's why the Bible says, love those that hate you, bless those that curse you. Hey, listen, follow me. It couldn't be. Love those that hate you. Couldn't be hate, love those you hate. Couldn't say that. You couldn't say bless those you curse. Why? The hater cannot love. Folks, God can't, here's a guy, he hates you. And God comes to hater and says, love him. He can't, he's a hater. So God goes to the lover and says, love the hater. Because he cannot say to the hater, love the lover. God goes to the one who is, he goes to the blesser and says, bless the curser. He can't go to the curser and say, bless the blesser, because the curser cannot bless. And God says, I want my people at peace. Hey, that means that you older kids ought to be the peacemakers in your families. That means a 10-year-old girl ought to be the one who gives in to the 7-year-old girl. That means a 5-year-old beginner child ought to give in to the 3-year-old child. That means a high schooler ought to give in to the junior higher. That means that the college student ought to give in to the high schooler. That means that the junior higher ought to give in to the junior.
Another day, Jacqueline, our granddaughter, Cindy and Jack's daughter, had 2 cookies. She dropped one. She was bringing one to me. She dropped one. And she looked up and she said, Papaw, I'll get you another one next week.
And I said, that's yours you drop.
Not yours. It's mine. I'll get you another one next week. And I grabbed her and I said, that's mine. We fought and fought and I slapped her across the face. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. That's the way some of you adults do to each other.
No, I didn't do it. I grudgingly waited till next week. Why? Because a little child that's 3 years old is not developed and mature enough to give in, but a fellow 57 years old, if he ain't mature enough, he ain't never going to mature. And it's time some of you people are stronger gave in. The strong gives the weak. But you say, I'm right, I know I'm right. Then be right again and obey God and something else. That means the burden of forgiveness is on the strong. I want to tell you something now you've never heard in your life before, and I don't think I ever said it before. Did you know God set the example? Man and God were alienated. made the plans to get them back together. God did. I want to say that. God made the plans. This is great. Wake up, hear this, go back to sleep. This is great. Look, show me one place in the Bible where God says you've got to get forgiveness to get saved. There's not one place in the Bible. If you've got to, no, not one place in the Bible. He said, if we confess our sin, didn't say ask for forgiveness, said confess. But all you say, he said, our Father which art in heaven, forgive us our sins. He said, our Father, they're already saved. But there's not one place in the, you do not have to come to God and say, forgive me of my sins. All you've got to do is receive Jesus. But to as many as received him. Well, you said in the person has to be forgiven to get saved? Yeah, but he hadn't got to seek it. Why? He already has it. Jesus said on Calvary, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, and not a one of them had yet sought forgiveness. God took all of deity's forgiveness and put it in a big reservoir. And he said, it's already there. It's yours. Come and drink. It's yours. You don't have to seek it. It's there. Drink it. That means anybody that's done anything against me, I don't require him to ask me to forgive. Because I've already forgiven. Why? Because that's what Jesus did, and I'm supposed to forgive like he forgave. You know, the burden of forgiveness. But not only that, the burden of peace is on the strong. Hear me now, the strong don't have any right to speak their peace. Well, you say, wait a minute, he's got a right to speak his peace, I got a right to speak my peace. Oh, no. If you are strong, you've reached a plateau and a level where you have no right to speak your peace anymore. Well, you say, I want to get it off my chest. Don't put it on your chest. If you're strong, it's not off. See, getting it off your chest means you've been holding it there. But if anybody does you wrong or offends you, don't put it there. Take it off. Say, God, forgive them. I'll tell you something. And I'm going to be through here because of time. Listen carefully. I promise. You listen to me 4 minutes, I'll quit. I don't know when I'll quit, but I'll quit. I have paid off many a debt. Hear me now. I did not owe. If you think I owe you this morning, if you think I owe you, you let me know. I won't have to think I owe you. I'll pay you if you think I owe you. That isn't all. I have paid many a debt for somebody else to somebody else in order to keep my friends loving each other. Many a time I have paid off a debt I did not owe. Nobody thought I owed it. Let's suppose that old Claire and Sisson were upset because old Claire thought Sisson owed him $500. Timing. I'm not. Okay, the Bible says the weak can do that. But let's suppose that. I mean this. Time and time again. If Sisson said, I don't owe it to him, or Claire said, you do, Sisson said, I don't. Okay, but go to the preacher and we'll see. Time and time again, I've handed for, and I'm not a rich man, this is the way I say poor. I've forked over many a $500 to a Sisson and said, you pay old Claire with this. There are two people in this church, two Christian people, not long ago. We're going to court with each other. By the way, that's why the Bible makes it against God's will for any Christian to go to court with each other. It's against the will of God. You don't have to if a strong gives in. Don't need to. That's why God says it's wrong. No two Christians ought to go to court with each other. It's wrong. Against the Bible. Like cussing's wrong. Like drinking's wrong. It's wrong for Christians to go to court. You have to go to court with me. We'll settle out of court. I'll do what you think I ought to do. You say, what are you, some kind of a nut? Yeah, and you could be too if you'd get right. Yeah. Not long ago, two Christian people I know, I'll just grab the figure $1,000 out of a hat. Well, I'll tell you, it was $1,000. Two Christians I know, I love them both, they're going to court for $1,000.
I called the one that owed that was being sued. And suddenly stand somebody says, you owe $1,000. I said, yes, I do. I said, do you owe it? No, I don't think so. He says, I do. I said, okay. I'll have you $1,000 out today. And I sent $1,000 to the person. And he paid the $1,000. You say, what are you doing? I want people that I love to love each other.
You say, well, how's I've got to defend my rights? Show me one place in that book that says you're supposed to defend your rights. I double dog dare you. Well, I've got my rights. You show me one. Listen, if you got your rights, you'd go to hell and burn forever. But blessed be God, he against whom and to whom you owe a debt you cannot pay unless you go to hell. He paid it for you and said, forgive them. They know not what they do. How dare little people like us, recipients of such forgiveness, dare try to get stuff out of each other? It's not a new story for you. I'll close with this. I picked up a newspaper in California. Los Angeles, John Rice and I were sitting together at the table. Dr. Rice said, look at this. And Dr. Rice said, look, I looked. And he said a certain preacher starting a church for homosexuals. There's no such thing. Maybe a church for converted homosexuals, but not homosexuals. But he started to call it that. I put in one of my books, told that story about the church for homosexuals. Now listen, you listen, I'll quit in 4 minutes. I wrote up one of my books. Well, I preached a sermon on it, took the sermon down and taped it and put it in a book. I didn't know I'd called a name of denomination. To me, I didn't. Like you say, a Baptist fellow, that means a Baptist denomination, that means he believes Baptist doctrine. I got a letter from a denominational secretary of one of the major denominations. He said, before I turn this over to my lawyer, I won't tell you what I want you to do. He said, you have said that one of our preachers started a church for homosexuals. I called him on the phone. I said, you don't have to get a lawyer. I can save you some money. I said, all I have in this world is equity in a house. That's all I got. I said, I don't have one dime in a savings account. I said, I have equity in a house. Now, I said, if it would make you feel better to get my equity, let me know now. And I'll contact my lawyer, and I'll deed the house to you. If that'll make you sleep better, I'll be glad to. I'll save you paying a lawyer. He said, well, we're going to sue. And I said, okay, I can save you suing. What can you get? We'll get your house. I said, you got it. You can't tell a dead man. You got it. He said, you take all the fun out of it. You can too. Does your brother have aught against you? The same Bible that says Jesus saves says go to him and make it right. The strong to the weak, the right to the wrong, the innocent to the guilty. Because God wants you together. And God knows the chances of your ever getting back together are practically nil if the obligation of reconciliation rests on the shoulders of the guy who did wrong. Father, bless the sermon.